grace to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Today we want to consider, with the help of the Holy Spirit, the testimony of John the Baptist, keeping in mind that John is here an example for us of how we are to confess Christ, that is, what we are to confess and how we are to confess. Right? It begins, and now my preaching will take into account the stuff before our gospel lesson and the stuff after our gospel lesson. So in chapter 1, verse 6, right in the middle of the great prologue about the Word which was with God and the Word which was God and the Word which became flesh and dwelt among us, full of grace and truth, all St. John the Apostle's great confession of Christ, right in the midst of this passage, we hear about John the Baptist. And it says, there was a man sent from God whose name was John. Now, St. John the Apostle, who writes the gospel, is talking about John the Baptist here. And he was sent from God, and his name was John. The same came for a witness. Now, pay attention. That word will be retranslated in the rest of the chapter as witness, testimony, record, over and over again. John bears witness. And so it is. You and I bear witness to the grace of God in Christ, that grace which comes to us in word and sacrament. He came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. All right? So John bears witness to Jesus Christ, the light. Everything else in the world is darkness. Jesus Christ is light. Not only that, it says in our text here that John was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light which lighteneth every man that cometh into the world. So John is a witness of the true light which shineth upon everyone that cometh into the world. So John continues for a little bit, and then in verse 15, he says again, notice the word, and John bear witness. There's that word again. Bear witness to Christ, cried and said, this is he of whom I spake. He that cometh after me is preferred before me, for he was before me. Here, John is saying, though he comes after me, he is preferred before me. Why is he preferred before him? Because he was before him. And here, John is not talking about the age of him and Jesus, because Jesus was actually born 3 months after John the Baptist. All right? So he's not referring to their ages. He's talking about the pre-existence of the Son of God from all eternity with the Father. The reason, he says here, the reason why he is preferred before me is because he is the incarnation of the eternal Son of God. The man Jesus Christ is not merely man, but he is the man who is God in human flesh made manifest. And that is as we are to confess Christ in this world. We are not to confess him as just a good guy, just a great teacher, all the other things that the world is willing to say when they're in a good mood. We are to confess that this Jesus He is the eternal Son of God, having become incarnate in human flesh manifest for the result of our salvation. All right, now we come to the guys from Jerusalem. They show up, priests and Levites from Jerusalem, and they're going to interrogate John, because John has attracted a great deal of attention. John is in the middle of his high point of his mission here. And so the authorities from Jerusalem come with all of the intimidation and all of the vaunted self-importance that they bear. And they want to find out just who this wilderness squeaker thinks that he really is. And so it says, our gospel begins, this is the record of John. There's that word again. Witness, testimony, record. All right? This is the record of John. When the Jews sent priests and Levites, he confessed. He did not deny, but confessed. Right? Now, this is important for us because here's the thing. We all experience those times when we know that God is giving us an opportunity to speak his word to someone, but we're a little bit intimidated by it. We're intimidated, we're a little bit scared to open up our mouths, because we've had many experiences in our lives when we open our mouth and tell the truth about Jesus Christ, people don't appreciate it. And sometimes they show their lack of appreciation very strongly. John the Baptist here is confronted with the authorities who don't like him. And they want him to shut up. And they are not shy about it. And so John is being interrogated by these people. And so John the Apostle, writing the gospel, he wants us to know that John will not be intimidated. So he specifically says he confessed. He did not deny, but confessed. So there's that extra verbiage there to show that John was not afraid to tell the truth about who he is and who Jesus is. All right? So they asked him, "Who art thou?" He confessed. He did not deny, but confessed. And he says, "I'm not the Christ." And they said, "Are you Elijah?" "No, I'm not Elijah." "And are you that prophet?" "No." Now they're exasperated. All we're getting out of this guy is no, right? And he says, "Who are you that we may give an answer to them that sent us? What sayest thou of thyself?" So we got a job to do here, John. We need to go back and report about you. What do you say for yourself? Come on, stop saying no and tell us what you're all about. John goes, All right. He said, "I am the voice of one crying in the wilderness, make straight the way of the Lord, as said the prophet Isaiah." So we read that this morning in our Old Testament text. We read the Isaiah the prophet. And here, Isaiah teaches that before the great coming of the Lord, there will be a messenger, a forerunner, a voice crying in the wilderness, "Prepare ye the way of the Lord." So John says to them about himself, "I am that voice crying in the wilderness." Just like last week, we learned that John is the messenger of the Lord from Malachi chapter 3, right? Today we learn he is the voice crying in the wilderness, and he is come. If John is here and John is doing his mission, the next thing to come is the Lord who comes with salvation, all right? Make straight the way of the Lord. So once again, John confesses that the coming Christ, who is right on the heels of John's ministry, the coming Christ is the Lord from heaven come with salvation. So because these guys who came are Pharisees, they've got all kinds of ritualistic questions. So they come up with this question. All right, John, you're the voice in the wilderness. Why then are you baptizing? If you're not the Christ, you're not Elijah, you're not that prophet, why are you baptizing? And John says, I baptize with water, but there standeth one among you whom ye know not. He it is who coming after me is preferred before me, whose shoes latcheth I am not worthy to unloose. All right, let's sum this one up very quickly. He says, my baptism is a preparatory baptism. That is, I am a minister of the means of grace, the word and the sacrament. He, the one who is coming, is the source and giver of all that grace. That's what John is saying. He's not belittling his water baptism. He's saying that the means of grace that I am a minister of has its source and its giving in the person who is coming after me. Jesus is the source of the grace of God in Christ. And he says, I baptize with water, but standing among you, all right? He's already here, but you don't recognize him. All right? He already stands among you. You know him not. He comes after me. He is preferred before me. I am not worthy to unloose his shoes latchet. In other words, I am his unworthy servant. All right? So notice how John, he keeps pointing away from himself towards Christ. That's the way we should be. Our Christian religion and our faith is not really all about us and our accomplishments. It's about Jesus Christ. What people need to know is not what a great Christian I am. What they need to know is what a great Savior Jesus Christ is. And that is what we are called as a congregation and as individual Christians living in the world, to be those voices in the wilderness who say, prepare ye the way of the Lord. The Lord is gracious. He is the source of all grace. All right, so that takes us away from the confession of John before these dignitaries from Jerusalem. Now, in the last part of our text today, John's testimony of Christ among his disciples. All right? It says in verse 29, the next day John seeth Jesus coming unto him, and he says, behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. Now notice, John is now saying more than that Jesus is God, more than that Jesus is great, more than that Jesus is the source of all grace and goodness. He specifically says that Jesus is the Redeemer and Savior of the world. And he is that because he will offer himself as God's own lamb to be slain for the salvation of the world. Your sins are taken away, not because of your sincerity, not because of your faith, but because a redemption price has been paid. The blood of the Son of the Living God has been shed for you, for your redemption. And therefore, Jesus is the only source, the only hope for the forgiveness of sins and eternal salvation. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name given among men by which we must be saved, the name of Jesus. And so when John here points to Jesus and shouts to his disciples, "Behold, the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world," you are being comforted with the assurance that in Christ your sins are forgiven. And you are encouraged to share this good news with people who don't know it. To open your mouth and to dare to say to a sinner, "Behold the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world." So he goes on and he says, "And this is he of whom I said, after me cometh a man which is preferred before me, because he was before me. And I knew him not, but that he should be made manifest to Israel. Therefore am I come baptizing with water." So again, he talks about the eternal being of the Son of God here, who has, the eternal Son of God has come into the world, taken upon himself human flesh, and I've been sent to bear witness to him, and that's why I'm baptizing with water. Okay? So here again, we see John clearly pointing. Yes, he's talking about his own ministry, his own calling, if you will, but he keeps showing that his calling is to point away from himself to Jesus Christ. And that is what Christian faith is all about, pointing to Jesus. And then it says in verse 32, "And John bare record," again with that word, right? Testimony, record, to bear witness, right? "John bare record saying, I saw the Spirit descending from heaven like a dove, and it abode on him." John's saying here, how do I know that he's the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world? How do I know all these things? Because back when I baptized him, I saw the Spirit descend from heaven and land on him and stay with him. Right? And then John goes on and said, "And I knew him not, but he that sent me to baptize with water, the same said unto me, upon whom thou shalt see the Spirit descending and remaining on him, the same is he which baptizeth with the Holy Ghost." So here, John says, God told me that when I see one whom the Spirit descends and remains upon, that one is the one who baptizes with the Holy Ghost. This is the one who is the source and giver of all grace. We are all receivers of God's grace. He is the one and only giver of God's grace. He is the Lord from heaven, come to save us. And it says, "And I saw and bear record," there's that word again, "I bear record that this is the Son of God." So John the Baptist gives a very full and very clear account of who Jesus is and what he has come to do. John gets into this specifically because in the last few chapters of John's gospel, he tells us why he wrote his gospel. In chapter 20, he says, "Many other signs Jesus truly did, which are not written in this book, but these are written that ye might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing ye might have life through his name." That's why John wrote his gospel. John chapter 20, verse 31, he tells us why he wrote his gospel. And lo and behold, how beautifully the ministry of John the Baptist and his testimony to Christ fits with Jesus, his coming, his person, and the unfolding of the gospel message for us. You and I have been let in on this. All right? We have become, by the grace of God, disciples. And that's where I want to close it today. The next day, it says in our text, in verse 35, the next day after, John stood and two of his disciples. So John is standing there with two guys. From the rest of the chapter, we learn that these two disciples were Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, and John, the son of James, the son of Zebedee. All right, so we have Andrew and John, these two disciples of John the Baptist. And it says, looking upon Jesus as he walked, he said to these two disciples, "Behold the Lamb of God." And he's saying this and he's looking at them to see if they get the point. Behold the Lamb of God. And lo and behold, wonder of wonders, they get the point. And it says, and the two disciples heard him speak, and they followed Jesus. You see that? When John was testifying that Jesus is the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world, his purpose was to say to his disciples, it's time for all of you to leave me and go to him. So here, he repeats himself the next day, and he says, behold the Lamb of God. And he looks at them, and they go, uh-huh. And they see Jesus, and they go, and they follow Jesus. And that's the point of our Christian faith, that we have heard about the Lamb of God. He has been gracious to us, and now we want to follow Jesus, and we want to testify and bear witness like John the Baptist that he is the Son of God, the Savior of the world. Amen. The peace of God that passeth all understanding, keep your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus.